As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Let's see who summons the essence of Titletown or is curled up in a fetal position.
With the first pick, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
This is Primetime on Draft Week.
Brought to you by A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get $2,000 off a new energy efficient system now through May 31st. Call or visit aeheatingandcooling.com.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080.
Jamarcus Russell's going to immediately energize that Raider Nation.
The Fan.
Hey, what it do? What's up? Good Tuesday. It's one half of your sports bros, Rop here. That's me. You may know me. Been on here for a while now. Big Suk, he's in Italy. And Lord knows what's happening with him right now.
He's running for Pope. I don't know if you can run, but he's doing that.
The papacy.
Yeah.
Why do they call it that?
I don't know.
I don't either.
And then the adjective is papal, right?
Yeah, why? I hate it.
I don't know.
Papal. Yeah, exactly. Ryan Buckley, everybody, he's here. Thank God.
Hello.
Thank God for you. You know, I was just talking to the big bosses. We have new big bosses now, you know.
Didn't know that.
Well, I mean, Ryan Cooley.
Oh, well, yeah.
Technically still new.
Yeah.
And the Fan is running rudderless right now. We have no program director.
That's right.
Although a lot of names in the hat for that. But, yeah, he was like, so what are you going to do for 2 weeks? I'm like, well, I'm going to talk sports.
It's what we do.
Yeah. And he's like, well, no, is it just going to be you? And I'm like, well, I mean, do you have a better idea, Ryan? Like, can I? So it's, you know, I was like, listen, you got some celebrities and dignitaries coming by. Dan Lanning will be here tomorrow.
That's right. Well, not here, but he'll be on with us.
Well, he's not co-hosting, but he'll be in.
Nor will he be in studio. But we'll talk to him.
Yeah, he'll be on, not in. Andrew Nemec will be here on Thursday because the NFL draft. We're going to give you what you want. You want some meat on that NFL draft bone. You're going to get that. Mm-hmm. He's our draft beatnik.
New draft rumors today. We were talking quarterbacks yesterday. There's a little bit more going on there today, at least draft odds-wise.
What are they saying now?
Shedeur Sanders.
Likely, to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, that's the big one.
Yeah. 21?
20-ish. I think 20, maybe. 21, 22, something like
that. So he'll drop there or they'll trade up to get him?
I think he would drop there. Unless somebody wants to get ahead of them to make sure they acquire him, but it's sounding more and more like it's going to be Ward off the top, and then if there were another, that it would be Jackson Dart before it were Shedeur Sanders.
So when they predict that a quarterback drops, because we're all scarred from Aaron Rodgers, you know, who just kept dropping and dropping and dropping.
That's right. Well, the Niners had Alex Smith number one overall.
Don't they always, like, isn't there one of these every year that's like, oh, this could be the guy who drops? Mm-hmm. I mean, Manziel dropped, I think, right?
Yeah, he went to like 23 or something.
Yeah. So we try to make there be one of these every year. And there isn't always.
Yeah.
But I feel like this year they're already saying Shedeur is that.
Well, I think part of it is just the way the draft stacks up and the team needs, and a lot of teams that are kind of in the middle there where he would maybe go don't need that quarterback position. And then on the flip side of things, the teams that might want him, he might not either fall that far, or they'd have to select him too high when they have other needs. So I think part of it is just circumstantial, but it's interesting because obviously he's, I don't know if he's the biggest name in the draft, but he's certainly one of them.
Yeah, high profile, that's for sure. Well, you know, Nemec will be here on Thursday. We'll do some draft stuff. I'm out Friday, Monday.
That's right.
I don't know what the hell you guys are doing. And then next week, I'm out to a few other big name celebrities and dignitaries who could be swinging by here.
Ooh.
One I know for sure on Wednesday.
Okay.
And then I'm being ghosted by a couple of others.
Nice. But, Channing Frye?
No. Although that's actually a decent idea. But it's with the NBA playoffs going on. Maybe I'll reach out to Channing Frye.
Just send him like, hey, do you want to be on the show?
Yeah.
And see if he even knows if it's radio or television.
So just the other day, I was texting him on the
air. Or podcast.
He had no idea who I was.
Right.
He was trying to figure
it out. But you proved that you knew each other because of the kickball connection.
Yeah. And he let it go there, and I let it go there. And so he's now wondering. I'm sure it's gotten back to him, but maybe not. So maybe we'll bring him in. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of options. A lot of fun things we can do here in radio. Or we can just shoot the breeze, you and I, which...
That's a possibility, too.
I enjoy very much as well, so we will do that today.
And it makes me sad.
Doesn't make me sad.
I know.
Sook's hanging with... So last night I dropped him off at the train station.
Yeah.
So he could not walk to the train station, which, by the way, is a half a mile from here.
Mm.
He needed me to chauffeur him over there.
Nice.
And I did.
Well, I think it's just that he loves spending time with you.
Yeah, sure. And so I dropped him off over there, and they were going to Seattle. He and Massimo and Matteo and Alessandro and whoever else, Giovanni, whoever else he's hanging with.
Are those their real names?
No. Those are Italian names, Buck.
Well, I know those are Italian names. I'm like, maybe, I don't know, maybe he's going with Italian bros. I have no idea. Sook's an interesting character outside of these walls. And,
yeah.
You know, he could absolutely be on a Italian bro trip.
You know, that's fair. But no, I made that all up.
Okay. Well, that's nice.
He's just with a couple of buddies. They were going to Seattle last night, and they were not going to get a hotel. They were just going to party and then go to the airport at 3 in the morning.
Okay.
For a 5:30 flight.
Okay.
And I think they flew to Toronto?
That's right. There, and then Toronto to Rome, I think.
Toronto to Rome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's probably, so it's 3 o'clock. He's probably on his way to Rome, don't you think? Surely he's in Toronto.
What time did you say their flight left?
5:30. So they're in Toronto.
He did tell me that he was not happy about a 4.5-hour layover in Toronto. So maybe he hasn't left yet, or he's about to.
He might be getting close to boarding for Rome.
Yeah, it's possible.
Or maybe in the air to
Rome. He'll probably be in the air by the end of this show, at least.
And then some guy does something stupid because he's all hopped up on drugs, and then they have to turn the plane around and go back to Toronto. And then he's going to come back telling that tale. And he is going to finally understand where I'm coming from.
That's
when
right.
It comes to that.
Yeah.
Turning planes around. At any rate, we hope he has a good time. I loved Italy. Now, you're a world traveler.
Yeah.
Although not anymore with two little kids.
Oh, well, we will try to be. I think we're going to try to make an international trip somewhere maybe towards the back end of this year. We'll see.
I don't think you've been to Italy.
I have been to Italy.
You have been to Italy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I went, I was a senior in college. I studied abroad for a term in Copenhagen. And after my time in Copenhagen, then my dad and my brother flew over to meet me, and we met in Rome, and we went to Rome and Venice, and then my brother and I went to Spain after
yes.
that.
Spain or Italy, go.
Spain.
Yeah, that's what everybody says.
But I've only been to Barcelona, but I loved Barcelona, and I, like, very, very top of my list is, like, northern Spain, southern France.
Yeah. So you went to southern France too?
No. I'm saying top of my list of like where I want to go is back to Spain, but like the San Sebastian, northern area, and southern France.
Yeah, it's on my list too. And I've heard, I mean, people just rave about Spain.
Yeah.
Americans. And Portugal.
I also took Spanish for like 13 years, so it's like fun to try to dust that off and communicate.
Turkish bathhouse, Ryan Buckley speaking
yeah.
Spanish.
Yeah.
In the south of France.
In the south of France.
Sound like Souk, France. No, I can't. So I can't compare Italy to Spain or anything. But I tell you what, Italy is a damn delight.
Oh, Italy's very much awesome.
It's great.
It's insane. It's not that it's bad in comparison to Spain. It's just different. But Italy was awesome.
Italy doesn't disappoint. in really many areas at all. I've heard a lot of people say they don't like Venice. I loved Venice. I thought Venice was breathtaking.
I loved Venice. I have not done any of like the countryside or the coast, though, which I've heard is like the best part.
Well, so, those are, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the Tuscan countryside is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's rural. It's wine and olive oil and blue sky and Vespas and hots running around. I mean, it's that doesn't disappoint you. It's exactly as you think it is.
Yeah.
The Amalfi Coast is a must. You got to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Eat the tomatoes, the lemons.
Mm-hmm.
Cinque Terre is like a smaller, more laid-back Amalfi Coast.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have done Cinque Terre, and that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, Amalfi Coast a little bougie, can be, and then Cinque Terre is kind of the lesser version of that. Rome's cool. But I don't know. I liked it more for its neighborhoods and food than its sights.
Yeah, I think there's some things that if you're already over there and you're going that far, there's some requisite stuff to see. But like, there can be elements where it's like, okay, you have to go see the Mona Lisa. Well, did I really? And there's that going on. But like, I still really enjoy going to the Colosseum. And yeah, the Vatican, I guess, I don't want to say I guess, it was worth going to, but
they're worth seeing.
It's crazy busy there. And you're right. The best parts, at least for me, of traveling are just kind of trying to immerse yourself in the culture and, you know, eat, drink, be merry, walk around, explore.
That's what I loved about Venice is you really don't. I mean, you just everywhere you look in Venice is a postcard.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
And there it's all these cobblestone and it's just, streets.
Yeah.
And,
it's just restaurants and cheese and wine and food. And it's just freaking just get drunk and pop into places. Yeah. That's all you got to do. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go see anything.
It's like stopping for beer and gelato every other doorway.
Yeah, exactly. It's great. And then, a little town. So we didn't spend much time in Milan. We did not go to Pompeii. I mean, there's so much to see in Italy. We did not go to Florence, which I've heard is wonderful. So
I have as well. My buddy studied for a year in Florence. He said it was amazing.
Yeah, we didn't spend much time in those. But we did go to Siena, which is just great, particularly when so we saw the Palio, you know, the horse race.
I've heard that's incredible.
It's unbelievable.
And I think we've talked about this. I went to like England's version of that, which is the Royal Ascot.
Yeah, but, that's right. You wore an ascot to the Royal Ascot.
I wore a top hat and tails. Yeah.
God.
But the Palio is something I would love to experience at some point.
Go. Awesome. And it's in the town square in Siena, and it is just a spectacle. I can't even describe it. And it means so much to the people there. It's basically all the neighborhoods have a horse, and they all race. And it's a freaking free-for-all. I mean, the rider falls off, the horse can still win. They're like, carrying people out of there on stretchers. They have mattresses around the walls because they run into the wall. Like, it's Thunderdome. You can knock the next guy off your horse, or off of their horse.
Yeah.
It's corrupt. It's everything
you
want. It
is? How so?
Oh, it's super corrupt. There is a documentary on it called Palio. It's only like, I don't think it's very long. It's like maybe an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay.
Worth a watch.
All right.
Because I can't describe it as the way it needs to be described. It's just, there's bribes and the best horses versus, and then they get
Did
in bed.
Did you tell when the fix was in?
Well, I think the locals can.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just there to drink and watch.
Yeah, experience
but,
it.
Yeah, I think they know because they know who's in cahoots with who and who's helping who. It's very, very cool. It's like culture at its finest. Like you want to see another culture, mm-hmm. go to the Palio in Italy. Anyway, it's in Siena and just down the street from the main square in Siena there where they run the race, they emptied out and thousands of people pour into the middle of the town square and watch the race. The race lasts maybe 3 minutes. And that's it. But they do it twice a year. Super cool. And it's a huge party and a big fight. And they're all fired up. It's all high tea and a bunch of booze. And then everybody disseminates into the streets of Siena. And we went and ate at the best restaurant I ate at in Italy. It was called Osteria da Divo.
Okay.
I believe.
Okay.
And it was in like these medieval cave-like cellars. And my God, the mushroom risotto was the most amazing dish I had and we ate and drank our way all the way through Italy. It was unbelievable. Unique, romantic, delicious, one of the best authentic cultural food experiences right there in Siena.
Okay.
In Siena, Italy.
I am sold.
What a great place. Anyway, I hope he has a good time. 2 weeks, He'll be back. I don't even know what 2 weeks is, but we got some fun stuff planned. We're out to some other peeps. You know, we're going to keep it lively, keep it fresh, or at least hopefully. And we're going to, you know what we're going to do? It's sunny outside. Football is long over. Mm-hmm. Football isn't even close to coming back, although we do have the draft. You know, it's like kind of feeling summery. It's feeling a little grab-assy.
Yeah.
I mean, if, I'm not going to lie. It's only April.
Absolutely.
But it, I think it's just because of the weather and vacations.
Yep.
I think that's...
And we're not at a crucial... sports point right now. I mean, the draft is coming up in a couple days, but right now it's first round action in the NBA. It's not anything we need to take super seriously, so you know, that'll come later.
That's right. I mean, who gives the Grizzlies much of a chance anyway?
No one.
Not this guy. Not this sports better.
I bet on the Thunder to sweep.
Oh, the sweep?
Yeah.
What'd you get? What kind of odds?
Plus 155.
What?
Oh, yeah, plus money.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Not a bad bet.
And then I also took them to lead 3-0.
But will they do? Oh, see, that's smart, because I was going to say the gentleman sweep.
Of course.
You know, sometimes they just lay down in that game 4. Yeah. Mm. Good times. Well, we will start today. I saw the Mike Rogaway article on MLB to Portland. Oregon Live, I believe. We'll start there next on The Fan.
The home of Dirt and Spray.
I'm Dirt.
How about this kick in the nuts? Not only did we lose the coin flip to Phoenix, so we're technically in the 10th seed. If the Phoenix Suns somehow break through and win the lottery,
the coin flip pick, they get the pick.
They get the pick. Not only would that be a kick in the nuts because that should have been us.
If you didn't lose a coin flip.
I'm now going to tell you that Cooper Flagg will be a Houston Rocket.
Dirt and Spray. Weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. on 1080 The Fan.
You know, Saturday was really nice out, and my wife and I were sitting out back, and I had already cracked some vino, and I said, we need to vibe this out. I said, what do you want to listen to? Pull up Spotify, you know, and I'm like, how about some Yacht Rock? And she's like, oh, yeah. And then Christopher Cross comes on, and she's like,
no!
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, wait a minute, you wanted Yacht Rock. Christopher Cross comes on, that should make you happy.
Yeah.
He is the definition of Yacht Rock.
Was it this song or another song?
No, I don't remember what song it was.
Okay, well.
And I just, there are two real problems I have with my wife. One of them is she never liked Monty Python. And honestly, I still can't get over that.
I've never seen Monty Python.
What?
That's right.
You've never seen any of it?
Nope. I mean, I'm aware of, like, the bits, and I've seen some of those bits, but, like, no.
You never seen any of the movies?
Nope.
Flying Circus?
Nope.
The show?
No.
Damn, dude.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a hole in my zeitgeist.
That very much is, but that's better than saying you've seen it and don't like it. I would imagine you would think it's funny.
Probably.
I thought they were genius, but... My wife didn't think so, and to each their own, whatever. But at the same time, I'm like, should I really marry you? And the other one is, I don't think she likes Yacht Rock. I think she just gets pressured into saying that she does. Because the second Christopher Cross came on, she was like, ah. You know what she wanted? You know what she thought Yacht Rock was?
What did she think it was going to be?
She thought it was going to be more like...
Like Caribbean music? Like
no,
if you're on a sunset cruise?
More like country... who is that band?
Zach Brown Band?
Zach Brown Band. More like that. She thought it was going to be more vibey like that.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, no.
Mm-mm. That, I mean, that's its own... That's like pop country. That's
maybe,
not... Or, I mean...
Do you think we should divorce?
I don't know. Well, maybe.
Nah, I love her. She's great.
She is great. I got to talk to her for a little bit at the party.
Yeah, she was a hit at Jeff's going away party because no one knew she existed. Everybody thought she was fake.
Well,
I'd only
met her one other time, and she was wearing a hat and sunglasses because you guys were off to Vegas.
Mm.
And so when I first got there, I was like, is that a coworker standing with Rop, or is that Rop's significant other? And it was Rop's significant
Nurse
other.
Nurse Nice.
Yeah.
She met, you know who she hit it off with? Of all the fan personalities. Now, she liked all of you. She's very... congenial in that way. Is that the right word?
Yeah, I think that's right.
You know who she found something most in common with?
Schultzy.
Rashad.
Oh.
Because they were talking about how they both went to some strange summer camp back in the day.
Okay.
And I think it's possible they hooked up. No, I'm just kidding. But they were roughly, they're kind of the same age. And they were, because, I mean, that's my first thought. Like, listen, you're at a party and your wife is there.
Yeah.
And she meets a coworker and they bond over and being at this sort of summer camp.
Camp, yeah.
At the same time.
Sure.
Isn't your first thought, uh-oh.
Did you guys do it?
Did you guys? Was this your first? Because, you know, what happens at summer camp, that's the best part of summer camp.
It can be.
Anyway, so they bonded over some summer camp, which I can't remember the name of. They were like, wow, you don't see a lot of people that went to this summer camp. I'm like, oh, okay, cool guys. But anyway, she really liked Rashad, and she liked all of you. It was cool to have her out. And Jake had a good time.
Yeah.
Crazy Jake from...
Crazy Jake.
From our YouTube department.
What's better, Crazy Jake or Jakey Poops?
I like Jakey Poops.
I know you do.
But anyway, where were we? Oh, a lot of people advocating for Spain on the text line, which I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, a lot of people are saying that's as advertised. Now, I would say if you had to, okay, in all your travel, this is a great question, and we're going to blow through this segment, yes.
Of course.
In all your travels, where would you recommend somebody not go? Mm. Like, I can tell you one that I think is perfectly skippable.
Okay.
London.
Huh, okay. I liked London. I spent more time there than I needed to. You don't, here's the thing. Food culture, if we're honest, sucks.
Bingo.
The sites are there, but like, it's the stuff you see on postcards.
Same old stuff, yep.
And it's not, I mean, they definitely have their own culture, but it's like,
The food's not great.
No, it's that's being kind. It's not very good.
Yeah.
I mean, just their staple. I mean, not that they can't do food well.
And
there's
I don't
still
understand
some decent
that.
Stuff, but like...
That doesn't make sense.
Their staples just aren't very good.
Why, and that's true of Scotland too, but Scotland's much more of a cultural experience with, you know, the people up there and just, I don't know, it's different in Scotland. Scotland's way better than England, in my opinion, to visit. But I think you can skip London. And I hate to say this, but maybe most of England. The question is why is their food culture so bad? They've been around so long.
Yeah, I don't know.
You think of the French cuisine and you think of Spanish tapas.
Yeah, they're surrounded by other
Italy.
Great cuisine.
Yes, but not there. Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Explain that to me.
I can't.
I want an expose on that from you by tomorrow.
Unlikely.
Somebody else said, imagine Souk sitting on a 10-hour flight with a bunch of Catholic moaners.
Mourners?
Well, yeah. Both probably applicable.
Catholic moaners.
Well, you know, they moan and cry about the Pope, you know. I mean, look, their guy died. I get it.
They're mourning. They're moaning and mourning.
Aren't there a bunch of people flying over there now?
Probably.
To see his corpse?
I guess.
I tell you, the Italian people, they don't really give a rip. I think it would be interesting to see what Souk says about them when he comes back. Because they kind of don't care about you, you know,
yeah.
as tourists. Did you gather that?
Yeah.
Spain the same? They're pretty indifferent.
Yeah, they're pretty indifferent. I would agree with that. But I
so they could come across as rude. They're not.
No, they're just doing their own thing. Kind of.
They just don't care.
They don't care.
You're from Portland.
But Souk says he's going to try to see the Pope. No, he's not.
No chance.
Not even a little bit. They're going to try to get out of that city as fast as possible.
My prediction, exactly. All of Rome, I couldn't agree
right.
more.
I mean,
my prediction is they're going to try to go to the Vatican, and they're going to see how much it costs to take a cab or an Uber. Or, I can't remember. I don't think they have Uber. And they're going to be like, yeah. And then the crowds and the lines, and they're going to be like, yeah, no. Let's get out of here. All right. Well, anyway. Blew through another seggy.
You want a break?
I don't, but let's do it. Okay, so did you read the Mike Rogaway piece, Oregon Live, today?
I did not.
We've got a very, I say, pretty in-depth piece on MLB to Portland, as it stands now. And I will say, I thought it was pretty fair look at things. I mean, there were some interesting Craig Cheek quotes in there. And all in all, you know, there are a few things I think that are legit concerns that he brought up, and there are others that aren't. So we'll get into that when we return here on the show. Here's Buck.
There are really, really cool sites in China, but the humidity and pollution and chaos of it all are oppressive.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Okay.
It's not the kind of place that you go to relax. So, I mean, if you want to adventure, sure, you can go to China, but it's not a relaxing vacation. And same for India, the big cities especially. I mean, I've heard there are great places on the coast and other parts of India, but the places I went were pretty big and they were so chaotic and not that great.
Power rank India, China, England, travel destination.
Best to worst?
Yeah.
England, one.
England, China, India, right?
I think that's right. England, China, India. Yeah, I think
all right. A couple of other people bringing up, I don't know, hot spice talk here on the show. They're talking about the, like Jordan says, think of all the horrible things they did for spices just not to use them in any of their dishes. Talking about the British. And then a couple
that's true.
Yeah. Well, a couple of people talking about that. Apparently, the UK was able to bring spices in at a low cost to everyone with their domination in global trade centuries ago.
They basically just commandeered the trade route, right?
Yeah, and the rich people stopped using them to distinguish themselves from the poors. How about that? If that's true. Lots of hot spice commentary coming in on the text line. Okay, so Mike Rogaway, MLB to Portland. He is from Oregon Live, wrote a piece today. It's called Oregon Leaders Go to Bat for Ballpark, but Skeptics Say the Finances Don't Make a Lot of Sense. Okay, so here we go. We've got the sort of the deep dive into what's happening with MLB to Portland. And I thought that Mike, I don't know Mike, but I thought he did a pretty good job of laying it all out. I think there are some things in there that are not a concern or as much of a concern as he does, or is he, you know, the way he presented it. And there are other things that are very fair and legit concerns. One of those is, and this is the first time anybody's really brought this up because we don't really bother to dig into the minutia of these things. But as we've been saying time and time again when talking about MLB to Portland, the devil is in the details. So the biggest concern is, will the taxes on the players, i.e. the jock tax that they've proposed, will it cover the $800 million that it says it will? That is not a guarantee, as he brought up. And so now you've got people going, well, wait a minute. How do you project that out? Well, it depends on the payroll of the team. It depends on the deals of the opposing players that play here. And it depends on the tax rate at the time. So it's a fair question to ask, but we don't know what the rates will be. So there's no good answer, only a projection. The thing there is, MLB is going to want a good answer. So that is something that MLB to Portland people are going to have to answer within the next 6 months to a year. And to me, that's where the owner comes in. I mean, this is just my opinion, but Portland, you know, the city is not going to bridge any financial gaps. It's just not.
No, that's not what we have here.
The owner's going to have to. And now the rub there is that owners, you know, they already have to pay so much money just for expansion fees, just to be an owner, that they often want the public to pay for these types of things. And, you know, I don't know what the cost of the stadium is going to be, but it's going to be north of $800 million, I'll tell you that. So there, that is a big question. It's a fair question. And before you read this article and go, oh, see, all the detractors, the word I'm looking for, are on the doorstep with their pitchforks going, I told you. But they've been doing that the whole time. And I get the skepticism, I do. This is an uphill fight. And it remains an uphill fight. Portland's just tough. We're not getting stuff done like Salt Lake's getting stuff done.
No, we can't decide on anything. Nashville. We talk about this all the time here.
And so the Portland Diamond Project is an excellent group of people who have done a lot of legwork, but they're still fighting an uphill battle, okay? So before we say, you could read this and go, see, there's too many questions. No, I think at the end of the article, if we really want to summarize this, this project is far enough down the road that the detail questions are now coming out. And that's a good thing. The bad part is that it doesn't seem like Portland is far enough along on answering those questions as the city they're competing with in Utah, which is Salt Lake. And that's a bad thing. So it is crunch time. I I'd be willing to bet over the next 18 months or so, the Portland Diamond Project will make its idea more viable. But...
Well, it feels like they have to because we're still just talking a lot in renderings and theories and principles.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think we're at that point now, and this article is a good indication of that. We're at that point where the pressure is on. Okay, the skeptics are at the doorstep. They've got their I told you so signs. Pressure's on for some real tangible answers to some of these devils in the detail questions. So at the end, and that's why at the end of this, now let me pull it up here real quick. I put a link to it in my notes. It's kind of a long read, but it's worth reading. Oregon Live today. At the end, Craig Cheek, the head of the Portland Diamond Project, is quoted as saying, bloop, 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 1 second. Boy, it is long, isn't it? My God, scrolling. Bloop, 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 He says, we want to be building ahead of steam coming out of 2025 into 2026. Craig Cheek said he said the Portland Diamond Project wants to have all the pieces in place by next year, anticipating that's when Major League Baseball will get serious about selecting a site. And he said, quote, and this I think is the key quote, they put it right at the end of the article, the very last thing, he says, we're kind of on an 18-month sprint right now to do that, which tells you, hey, we don't have all the answers right now, but we're working on it. And before you dismiss them, because they don't have all those answers, I think we just need to wait and see how they answer those questions. But at this point, those questions are all quite fair. So the one thing in there, I mean, like let's be honest. If you're really being fair about this, Portland has been lapped not only by Vegas, who already got a team, but they've now been lapped by Salt Lake.
Yeah.
But the Portland Diamond Project has always talked about it being about timing. The stars have to align. And that means a lot of things have to come together at once, which is what they're trying to piece together all right now. So this space and time signifies it's time to start aligning those stars, which is why, again, I go back to the 18-month sprint quote. I think that's what he's saying. The crunch has begun. It sounds like they want to select a city on the West Coast and one in the East or in another time zone by 2028 and have them playing by 2030. Now, there are several other stars that need to align, and I think a couple of those that he brought up are not all that big of a deal. From what I understand, and I'm out to, I will say, I'm out to Mike Barrett and I'm out to Craig Cheek, waiting to hear back is when they can come on and talk about some of this stuff. I'm guessing they're huddling right now and, you know, they're working their tails off behind the scenes and maybe nothing to report yet. I'll let you know if they're willing to come on. But as of now, or at least the last time I talked to them, the environmental factor of Zedell Yard site wasn't that big of a hurdle. A lot of people are bringing that up because, you know, it used to be a shipyard.
Right.
And the soil and the environmentalists, and that has long been a problem with that site and a discussion on that site. But, the only thing I have to go on is what the PDP guys said, and it is not, while it is a thing, it's not a major hurdle. It was kind of discussed in this article today, but not in depth. So there's probably more to dig into there, but I don't think that's a huge one. And the other one is the owner, you know. And look, I got to tell you, this is the first time I raised an eyebrow with something that Craig Cheek said. He said in this article today, he said, our ownership situation has tweaked a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's when I went, ooh, and that's the second I text him. I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, and they hadn't given us any real indication on ownership in the first place. So,
no.
So now it's changed. Was it? Well, it apparently wasn't ever. Okay. Interesting.
I don't think that it's that big of a secret where the money was coming from in general. I don't If you've been listening around town or just know a few, it's out there. It's just they can't really say it publicly. So his quote was, the ownership structure has changed and tweaked a little bit. That was like, okay, what does that mean? Does that mean the big money is out? Because they've announced a lot of littler things like Russell Wilson was a part of it. None of that stuff matters. You need the big billionaire,
the real group of money.
Billionaires. Yeah, and they had that. It's just I'm wondering if he is saying that has changed. He said tweaked a little bit. Okay, hopefully it's not a major thing. But if the original person who was funding all this is gone, that's a big thing. Doesn't matter to a lot of people because they never knew who he was in the first place or who they were. But like I said, I've reached out to him and gotten no response yet. I'm going to keep trying. But that one is sort of a wait and see. The other one was, you know, Tim Boyle said Portland's more of a women's sports town. He said that in there. He's the Columbia guy. I mean, come on, Tim.
That's a weird thing to say.
Yes.
I mean, we might be great at supporting women's sports, but that doesn't make it more of a women's sports town. This is a great sports town when the sports scene is thriving, and we haven't given it that chance in a while.
Well, I just feel like, and take this from a guy who is from somewhere else, this just a little feedback, and I say it all the time with Blazer fans, I don't understand why Portland sells itself short so much in these areas. I don't get that. You can be more, you can have more, but not with that type of attitude. And That's Tim Boyle, who is one of our big money guys. He's one of the big voices here. I thought he was a big thinker. And he says, oh, I really like baseball, but we're more of a women's sports town. I don't know, man. I don't like that sentiment. I think it's wrong. I also think there was another quote in there from a guy who said, I think it was one of the senators, who said Major League Baseball is losing its fan base and it's only old people. That's a bad narrative. That's not true, particularly for the live experience. If, you know, you build the ballpark right, you make it fun, Portlanders will support it like they have every other sport in this town. So, you know, those are a couple of things that I thought were kind of bullsh in there, but there are others that are legitimate concerns. Worth a read. Mike Rogaway on MLB to Portland, OregonLive.com today. And like I said, we'll see what Barrett and Cheek have to say eventually. But I think they're nose to the grindstone right now. It is crunch time. You know, all these years we interviewed them, it was always like, well, you got time. And, you know, we don't know when. You know, sometimes you're just sitting on your hands waiting, and other times you're really moving to try to get everything just to align at the proper time. I think the latter is true right now, where they're really moving now. Because you got to talk about infrastructure around that ballpark. You got to talk about these questions about the bonds, you know, not being fulfilled by the jock tax. There's a lot of questions that people are having, and that's like I said, that's a good thing. That means you're further down the road, but they got to start answering.
Well, and realistically, you're competing against Salt Lake City, who are putting all their cards on the table. So you have that to worry about too.
That's right. That's a big one. I mean, that's a huge one. If this would be a totally different conversation if Portland was clearly, at least at one time, was the front runner for a team out,
or if
out
it
west.
Were a one horse race, if no one else's hat was in the ring. But, well, that's not the case.
I think it was initially when they got right on this, they jumped out to a nice lead, and then all hell broke loose. COVID and the homeless situation, and we all know what's happened here. So it's just things change, dynamics change, and Las Vegas jumped them, and now Salt Lake seems to have jumped them. So a lot of questions to be answered, and I'm hoping that they will give us the time to answer them for you right here on the show eventually. I don't know when that'll be, but I'm out to them. All right, coming up next, the college football playoff meetings. What's on the table when we return on The Fan? I want to ask him about his new car. What is that thing, a Bronco?
Yeah, I think they said it was like a 77 refurbished?
Well, we'll get the lowdown tomorrow.
Yeah, he's been spotted in the wild. There was a video going around on Twitter of him with a player or recruit or something like that driving around.
Eugene. Yeah. Somebody took a video of it.
It's topless.
Skodex.
Yeah.
He's not topless. The car is.
I said it's topless.
Yeah, okay.
But, just wanted to make sure. I mean, you never know.
Convertible.
I'm cooking on your grill. You ever see a cheetah stretch?
We'll ask him about it. That'll be tomorrow, 3:15.
I want to make sweet, sweet football love with Dan Landon.
As for the draft, Andrew Nemec will be in on Thursday at 5. We'll cover the draft picks live as they happen here. And then, Friday, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. You won't be here, right?
No, I don't care.
Yeah. So Friday, we'll see with me.
Are you going to host? What's happening?
I believe it's me and Ortner and Schultze.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good. Live programming.
That's right.
want to read a couple texts, and then we're going to get to the college football playoff meetings and what they're discussing. They are in Dallas this week. Somebody says, I feel like doing the math of the life of the bond proposed, which is 30 years, getting $26.6 million a year for the jock tax doesn't seem difficult over a baseball season. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm no economist.
This is stuff where, like, you're speaking Japanese.
But we don't know the tax rates. It's a fair question to ask. Will it cover the $800 million? My bigger question is, even if it covers the $800 million, where's the other money for the ballpark going to come from? You know, these are all questions they need to answer. I want baseball to Portland, but the ownership thing is weird, gives me pause, and I'm a little cynical because of that. Why not come out publicly? It's weird, right? No, not. It is not weird if you know the details. And like I said, I think that stuff is out there. Obviously can't say it.
But it's weird that
yes,
it's still an unsaid thing.
If you don't know, I get that sentiment. And there's nothing they can do about that. I think they just need to be further down the road for this person to come out. Or group of people. That's what I think. Then again, that's just my opinion. I'll always remember when we were on track for MLB for my entire lifetime. Maybe the next generation will have a chance. Yeah, it's kind of been that now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you had a kid back when this first started, which I was on the air back then, it was like 2001 or something, the Expos thing.
I'm very confident.
Yeah. They'd be out of college by now.
Yeah, that's right.
Still no base.
Mm-hmm.
Ball. Baseball. It's called sports, particularly baseball in particular.
It's called sports. It's called baseball in particular.
Regarding the baseball stadium, the problem in Portland is that there is a sizable faction on both the left and the right that oppose it. Conservatives who oppose any kind of government spending and a left-wing faction who sees sports as just more bread and circus. Attach a 50-cent fee per ticket sold that goes to popular charity or towards park. More people will be on board. Yeah, no, there. Believe it or not, I'm actually quite stunned at how many people are against it around here. I don't think stunned is the right word, but
again, that just kind
of thing.
If that to me fits the fits the vibe of this city's political climate. It's like unless it does something for me or advances something that's important to me, it's not worth anything.
Well,
and it's just baseball. Like I guess if it's not beloved, people are against it. So it's like that's lame. I mean, why can't we have something that is a net positive for the community? And you know, maybe it's not your thing. It's a big deal.
Yeah, I agree with that sentiment. I think one of the problems in Portland really is, and this is a deeper conversation we don't need to get into, but I just think that people are not as like-minded. I mean, I know there's, you know, you have your Portland hippie faction, and you have, like this guy said, a lot of other people who aren't that, and you have a lot of different special interest groups, and you have a lot of different cooks in the kitchen here. I mean, it's just a lot. You have to go through, and it, you know, like, for example, a city like Salt Lake, I just feel like a lot of people are on the same page.
Whereas
Portland is not that type of city.
And I think the frustrating part is that you don't have to be like-minded to get something done.
I agree.
Everyone can get something done not thinking the exact same thing.
No, I agree.
But we get in our own way.
Yeah. No, I know. But believe me, it's maddening. The one thing I would say, just to wrap this all up, and we're going to move on here, but I would just tell you, as I've been telling you, and I'm telling you, the Portland Diamond Project is a good group. They have done a lot of legwork. And if Major League Baseball does not come here, it is not because they failed. Ultimately, can they get Portland to move on something that they've never moved on before? Maybe not. That's where the skeptics come in, and they're going to hold their I told you so signs, and they'd be right. But look, dude, they're trying their ass off, and they have gotten a lot further than I think a lot of people expected, particularly after the first time and everything that's gone on in the city in the last 5 years. So they're still working, man. It is not, this thing is far from over. And I just think they're doing a really good job. I mean, they even said it in the piece today in Oregon Live. You know, they have done a really good job of lobbying, which I said the other day, because for the Senate to pass that, there was even one of the lawmakers was quoted in there saying, hey, look, I don't think the finances work, but I'm going to vote for it anyway because there's really no downside.
And that's just it. Why not push until we get to the point where, like, the rubber hits the road and you can pull the ripcord anytime you want, but why not try to
see if we can work this out. And that's what they're doing. Yeah. I think that's what they're doing. Again, just a lot of what...
That's what they're doing, but it's not what collectively maybe we are doing.
Well, there's a lot of skeptics, but that's okay. There's going to be a lot of fair questions. Like I said, I think the key here is that we're learning that it is getting down to crunch time. And by crunch time, I'm not talking about a few days or a few months. I'm talking about, like Craig Cheek said, like 18 months. It's a long time, but it's closing in. The pressure's on. A lot of these questions need to be answered. And that's what they're working on. I'm just telling you, that's a good group. So hopefully they will come out and get people excited again at some point here over the next 6 months. They did say on the ownership thing, he hopes to have something by 2026 to announce on that front. So, you know, again, we just kind of have to wait. All right, the meetings are going on. College football playoff, what they discussing next on The Fan.